All right, parents, it's back to school time, and I've got a secret for you. There's a drama-free way to make vitamins part of your kids' morning routine. Little Critters Gummy Vitamins. You see, my kids think they're just eating fun, delicious gummy bears, but little do they know, they're getting essential nutrients for their health and development.
Mom, we know they're vitamins.
As I was saying, kids absolutely love, and apparently know, these are vitamins. Little Critters is the pediatrician-recommended kids' multivitamin gummy brand, and the yummy way to start the school year.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's gone. Yes.
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or draft pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
Well, that took about 1 minute before we got an immature laugh from John Jansen this morning.
How did you describe Jackson Job again?
I say the word fireball, and I could see John immediately.
You said he brings his fireballs.
Oh my God!
To the big leagues.
6 a.m. John, we got to do.
Trust me, it's 24 hours a day.
I don't know.
What did you ask me?
Is he a redhead?
Is he a redhead?
I don't think he is.
I don't know.
No, I don't believe so.
He should probably get that looked at.
Yeah. That sounds like
good start to the show.
It sounds
John.
Like a good rookie joke. Like that somebody in the clubhouse played a good rookie joke on him.
But that is one of the headlines today. Jackson Job, all gas, no brakes. The Tigers are putting everything into this final push in the regular season, and
a loophole that I didn't know about.
I didn't realize it either.
I'm a little embarrassed.
I thought you had to be on the 40-man by September, but if they rearrange some injured players, they can get him on the playoff roster.
Oh, roster manipulation.
Scott Harris working overtime over there. I like the hat you're wearing today, John.
Oh, yeah. Broke out my Tigers. I was going to break out my Tigers jersey, but I thought, I'll wait just another couple of games.
Maybe you'll be like reverse Major League. You'll add an extra item every week. Or every day as we get closer?
I could. I mean, it is getting, I can't put my arms down to my side.
Come in with the claw.
Yeah, exactly.
The claw. Tiger's scarf.
It's ridiculous.
If they clinch by Friday, you got to wear the claw.
The claw. Yeah, so I'll have to find a claw.
Well, that's one of the keys, right? So Scooble's going to throw today, day game. They didn't want to push to a doubleheader because they want to keep Scooble as an option for the final game of the regular season, but you don't want to have him pitch the final game of the regular season. You want to clinch early so you can save him for the playoffs.
Yeah, I mean, you want to be able to maximize every day with him. Mm-hmm. And if you don't have to use him by the end of the season because you've clinched yourself a playoff spot. Now, would they use him? Should they use him if there is a difference between facing Houston or Baltimore?
That is such a good question. Oh. And my answer is they should preserve having him pitch game one of the playoff series, no matter who it's against. I'd rather face Baltimore, but I think it's more important that he sets the table in that playoff series, no matter who it's against.
What if it means he just pitches game two? Because you're assuredly going to use him.
Right.
No.
No.
He hasn't pitched against Baltimore, right?
Well, no, he didn't.
So they haven't seen him. And you want him for game one.
Yeah.
You want him going up against Burns. They're gonna set their rotation for
sure. If it's Baltimore.
But Tom, that's his point, is if pitching him gets you Baltimore, you would consider it.
Because they've won without him. Yeah. Without him. Yeah, against Baltimore.
You wanted Scooble. If you need Scooble to determine which opponent you play, is what you're saying, right?
Right.
No, I'd rather him not. I don't care who I'm playing because you're most likely. If you play Baltimore, then you want him to pitch game one. Yes. You want him to go against their ace who has owned us. That's the two losses. Corbin Burns has owned the Tigers in the two games.
The other scenario is more of what I think he's getting at, which is if you save him and it means you're playing the Astros. If you pitch Scooble, you might get the O's, but you can't use him in game one, or you just accept that you'll play the Astros and you'll line Scooble up for game one, right? That's what you're asking.
Exactly.
Yeah.
I just would rather have him pitch game one of the playoffs.
Yeah, that's what I'm getting at, too.
Yeah. Okay. That's an acceptable. I mean, I don't know that there's necessarily a wrong answer.
I had a discussion
as long as
yesterday.
He gets the pitch against them.
I had a discussion yesterday with somebody at the team, and they were listening to our little quickie on the Astros or Orioles. Who do you want?
Our little what?
quickie. And is that going to make you laugh, John?
Nope, nope, not this morning. Nope. I'm still laughing at fireballs.
Yeah. Way to get me off track.
So what did they say? They heard our little conversation?
Yeah, and they're like, not so fast, because there is concern about how well Burns pitched against them.
Interesting.
And you might want the Astros.
Might prefer the Astros.
I still want nothing to do with Alvarez in the the Minute Maid or whatever that place is called down there now. Astrodome.
Yeah.
Well, Houston is just better than Baltimore.
Yep, and playoff experience and better pitching and all that. Better hitters. At least proven hitters in the postseason. Yeah. Okay, so we are going to talk some Tiger baseball today. Last night, you had a doubleheader on Monday night. I don't like these. There's going to be another one next week when the Lions play on Monday
night. You don't like two games on Monday night? Because one of them ended up being a gigantic turd, because Buffalo just took Jacksonville to the woodshed, which was fun for about the first half hour. And then you get a chance to change the channel. And you're looking at it going, okay, well, Cincinnati and Washington, I don't really know that that's going to be a great game, but it ended up being a great game. You got two options.
It worked out, but in principle, I don't like it, because Monday night to me is a stage.
So you're a man of principle now.
Yes, of course I am, John.
Okay.
Monday night's a stage. It's the one game at the end of the week. You get the entire world watching your game. And now we've cut it to where you got two games. You're flipping back and forth with the remote. If you're going to
I appreciate you looking at it from a player's perspective.
Well, and
from everybody is watching. Oh, my game! But as a fan, I mean, Thursday night football has been terrible matchups. Wouldn't you love to be able to have another option?
I'm thinking about it from not the player standpoint as much as you want to flatter yourself. It's the fan perspective.
You brought that up.
The fan. When the Lions play on Monday night, I don't want some other game on some other network at the same time. This is our Monday night game. And if I'm a fan of Cincinnati or Washington, or I guess if I'm Jacksonville, switch to something else, I can't watch this any longer. But Buffalo, exactly. I want my game to have its place on Monday night football. And if you're going to do two games, why not the 7 and the 10 like they used to start the season? To where one wraps up and the other one starts. You put a West Coast game at 10 o'clock. I don't like cannibalizing Monday night football as a practice. It was
like
fine
options.
Last night.
I like options.
Okay.
If you're going to force me to play at night, I like options. Or if you're going to force me to watch at night that late, I want options. I want to watch a good game.
And it was a good thing they had two last night, because you're right. One was a blowout. And
you're welcome.
And in Jacksonville, they have some questions.
Oh, my goodness. I mean, let's just go back to, and Stoney and I had this conversation, not this training camp, but last training camp. There was an article written comparing Jacksonville with Detroit and the trajectory. And they said, who would you rather be at this time? And the start of that conversation, really everything about that conversation, was, what are you building your organization around? Mm-hmm. And it was, would you rather have Trevor Lawrence for the long haul or Jared Goff? Well, as we can all find out, right now it's Jared Goff, even though we'll talk about the turnovers.
That's fine.
But it hasn't been Trevor Lawrence.
No.
And then it was all about, well, the draft picks. And thank you, Jacksonville, formally, for not taking Aiden Hutchinson.
Yeah, we should do a formal thank you for Jacksonville, because that will go down as one of the all-time Detroit draft thank yous. Thank you, Jacksonville.
Yes.
Thank you for passing on Aiden Hutchinson. We didn't want him because he was a local guy, although doesn't hurt. Detroit wanted him because he was the best football player in that draft.
Yes.
And it's proven out that he was the best football player in that draft.
Yeah. And all the fans at that time that were saying, oh, well, you're only looking at him because he's a Michigan guy, or he grew up in Plymouth, and, you know, you only want him, but you went to Divine Child. Like, okay, you are welcome to be an Aiden Hutchinson fan at this point.
A fun note on that, who was Aiden Hutchinson's head coach in college?
Jim Harbaugh.
Who was the Jaguars GM?
Trent Baalke.
Trent Baalke, yes. Yes.
Trent Baalke hates Jim Harbaugh that much, he passed on Aiden Hutchinson, one of his players.
I appreciate the connecting of the dots.
This is interesting. Did Harbaugh say something to Baalke to get him to pivot to Walker?
No, because Jim would have wanted his guy to go number one overall, right?
Well, yeah, but Jim could have been.
Jim hates. Jim has grudges.
We all have grudges. Yeah.
He hates Trent Baalke.
Yeah, and okay. Trent Baalke. And that, trust me, the feeling is mutual. Did he actually go to Trent Baalke and call him up and say, "Hey, let's put our differences aside. This is the greatest player that you're ever going to see." Did he pump up and say, "I fully support Aiden Hutchinson," which the reverse psychology to Trent Baalke means, oh, I'm never going to take him.
Exactly. I don't buy the conspiracy. What I do
it's fun.
Remember quickly about that situation, they moved to Walker in the last few days of that draft. It was speculated that Hutch was going most of the time. And then something changed. And it's like Jacksonville got too caught up in the combine crap with Walker. I mean, it's really puzzling why they did what they did.
Well, if you remember that draft, it was about two pass rushers that Lions fans were debating between, and neither of them were Trayvon Walker.
No.
It was Aiden Hutchinson, Kayvon Thibodeau. Did you like the bend of Kayvon Thibodeau, right? He looked smooth coming off the edge, or did you prefer the more rugged Aiden, high motor guy? Both of them were super productive in college, and it was a style preference. And Aiden fit Campbell. Clearly, Brad Holmes loved him. They got to pick between the two of them because Jacksonville didn't even take either of them because they went all upside. Walker's a good player. Aiden's a guy who's going to be an all-pro, a flirt with Defensive Player of the Year award for years to come. So, yes, formally, thank you, Jacksonville. Yeah. I don't know if we've done this. Thank you.
Yes, I mean, it's to think that we have the current leader in sacks, a guy that has been a part of changing the culture. And even if Trayvon Walker physically was performing like Aiden Hutchinson, I don't think there was anything in his, and this isn't a slight on him. Not everybody is built or wired to be a leader of a team. And Aiden Hutchinson is. Trayvon Walker just doesn't, it doesn't seem to be. Now, I've never been in a locker room with him. I don't know. But it doesn't seem that he is the leader in the locker room, or that this a franchise would really like to have, like an Aiden Hutchinson. So I will second that and say thank you, Jacksonville.
Who are some other ones? We can just kind of collect some ticket texts here early in the show. Yeah. And
who would you like to thank for allowing the Detroit Lions to take? And I'll just, before we go to break,
yeah,
let's go back in the time machine. Green Bay, thank you for taking Tony Mandrich.
Barry Sanders, 1989.
Barry Sanders. There's a number of teams that would like to say thank you to Green Bay.
I have a couple between 89 and today, and I'm sure some of them will be texted in, so I won't steal any thunder, but it's a good... Let's go from 89 to today. Some Detroit draft thank yous. We've got Greg Palm coming up at 6:35. We'll talk Lions football at 6:50. Those injuries piling up. It's 97.1.
When I needed a new furnace and AC, I called the guys at Mastercraft Heating, Cooling, Plumbing, and Electrical. When I needed some plumbing work last week, who did I call? Mastercraft. The biggest difference is their customer service. They've got the best equipment, the best prices, and a 5-year warranty on all of their equipment. So I know that I'm covered. Mastercraft is where you need to call, who you need to call for your heat, AC, plumbing, electrical. They even have generators. Tell them John Jansen sent you for up to $500 off fast installation. They're going to give you same day service. That's Mastercraft Heating, and you can find them at mastercraftheating.com.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and, for shoppers, buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
You sit in traffic now, but later, there's an ice cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, all your patience is paid out in gold. You remain calm through honks, bumper to bumper, and people yelling.
Come on, move!
You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
All right, parents, it's back to school time, and I've got a secret for you. There's a drama-free way to make vitamins part of your kids' morning routine. Little Critters Gummy Vitamins. You see, my kids think they're just eating fun, delicious gummy bears, but little do they know, they're getting essential nutrients for their health and development.
Mom, we know they're vitamins.
As I was saying, kids absolutely love, and apparently know, these are vitamins. Little Critters is the pediatrician-recommended kids' multivitamin gummy brand, and the yummy way to start the school year.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Detroit draft thank yous as we started Tuesday. Yes. Last night's Monday night game featured the Jacksonville Jaguars. Thank you for taking Trayvon Walker. I don't know if we formally thanked them, but we are today.
As the song says, thank you for your generosity.
Generosity. All-time Detroit draft thank yous. You said thank you to the Packers.
Yeah.
Tony Mandarich.
Yeah. I mean, the Lions, the Chiefs, the Falcons would all say thank you to Green Bay because they drafted three Hall of Famers right after Tony Mandarich.
Thank you, Raiders, for drafting Jamarcus Russell, one pick ahead of Calvin Johnson. How about this one, John?
Amazing.
Thank you, San Diego Padres, who in 2004 drafted shortstop Matt Bush, one pick ahead of this Justin Verlander fella.
Oh, yeah.
Thank you, Padres.
Thank you. We don't frequently dig that deep into Major League Baseball drafts.
Started thinking of all of our teams.
Yeah.
And I went back and I said, Verlander wasn't number one. He was number two. Yeah. Who the hell went in front of him?
Well, I dug a little bit deeper into some teams that I would like to thank. And to help me this morning, I've got some audio. And I'd like to thank 16 teams in one draft. All taken before a guy that helped change the Detroit Lions' future. Reshape the culture. Amon-Ra St. Brown. Thank you to 16 teams that took wide receivers ahead of him.
Okay.
What's Des Fitzpatrick up to these days?
Yeah, there were some good receivers on there, though.
Oh, there's some good receivers.
In the third round.
Anthony Schwartz.
I mean, Chase is still great, although they didn't have a chance to take him. They did want to trade up for him. Remember that? That would have changed that whole draft. Well, if that report was true.
I'm more than happy with Penei Sewell. So.
Oh, yeah. I am too, and that's the thank you from me. Thank you, Miami Dolphins, and even Atlanta Falcons in that draft for taking Pitts and Waddle. Penei Sewell is the better player.
Yep.
Penei Sewell is the Hall of Famer of the group.
I would put... Everybody, I mean, you got Trevor Lawrence, Zach Wilson, Trey Lance, Kyle Pitts, Jamar Chase, Jalen Waddle, all taken before Penei Sewell. And I would argue that Penei Sewell has had a bigger impact and will continue to have a bigger impact because we talk about Aiden Hutchinson and his character. I was watching last night and they're doing a special on Jamar Chase and they ask him, would you like to retire a Cincinnati Bengal? And he you know, kind of hemmed and hawed, and we'd be like, yeah, I guess I'd be okay with it.
Well, maybe they should pay him like the Lions paid Sewell.
I agree. So, yeah, it goes hand in hand.
Yep.
But you have a guy in Penei Sewell that doesn't go to the media. Amon-Ra St. Brown didn't go to the media. None of these guys have been, you know, malcontents.
Correct.
What have we heard from Micah Parsons? Now, Micah Parsons is a great player. Mm-hmm. But I mean, there is certainly in Dallas some, you know, dissent amongst the ranks in the locker room. Ja'Marr Chase, same thing. T. Higgins, same locker room, same thing.
Few ticket texts, then we'll get to Heather's news. We got Greg Palm coming up at 6:35. Ticket texter says, thank you to the Dallas Mavericks. Two thank yous for the Dallas Mavericks. They went all the way back to the early 80s. Mark Aguirre in front of this Isaiah Thomas guy. Thank you. Seattle, thank you for taking Devin Witherspoon. Now we get to watch Jahmyr Gibbs, Sam Laporta, and others. And thank you to the Islanders for taking Pat LaFontaine over Steve Yzerman.
Yeah.
Some Detroit draft thank yous. All right, let's get to Heather's news.
So the Royal Oak Public Library wasn't closed for long. The library reopened Monday afternoon after a reported bug infestation forced it to close its doors. So thankfully, no big issues. But if you didn't hear, on Saturday, mystery bugs emerged from a DVD case returned into the Dropbox at the library. Yeah. Well, the library called pest control. They came in. There was only one cockroach discovered. I'm guessing that cockroach was eliminated.
And it fit inside a DVD case?
Well, that's the only bug they discovered. Whether that was the bug in the... It sounds like that was the bug in the DVD case. Library officials also want to make it known that the building does receive monthly pest inspections. So don't be nervous to go back to the library. You're not going to be, you know, sitting with a bunch of bugs. Everything is taken care of and doors are open. What a weird story, though.
Super weird.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, I picture somebody opening this DVD case and, like, swarms of, moths flying out and, like, attacking. But it doesn't sound like the case.
They were able to see where that DVD case came from and maybe do a well check.
Yeah.
You might want to send the pest control to the house.
Here's the address. If you want some business, drop a business card by.
Yeah. So police reports now show that Dan Campbell and his family were repeatedly targeted by unwanted visitors. We learned that they sold their home, right? They moved once people found out what their address was. Well, there was at least four police reports involving the Campbell's home, starting with New Year's Eve in 2023 and then continuing until days after the Lions blew that 17-point lead in the NFC Championship game late in January. So the reports basically describe a series of unwanted visitors, phone calls, and then there was a Snapchat post that shared his address that was ultimately made by a classmate of his daughter's.
Right.
How frustrating. So there was once...
Frustrating is one way to describe it. Maddening and just infuriating. This is ridiculous.
Yeah. So contractors were sent to the house by frustrated fans.
Yep.
People were showing up. They weren't necessarily...
Threatening him.
Threatening, but...
But it's still unnerving.
The thing was is that a lot of the times he wasn't even home. It was his daughter that was home, right?
That's bad.
And it's scary, of course. There was one time that he and his wife were not there and called his daughter and said, you need to leave.
It's the right call.
And your boyfriend who was there with her should get out of the house just in case something happens. And how scary is that? So that's part of the reason and probably the majority of the reason why they decided to list that home. That sounds like they loved to find somewhere new.
It's so ridiculous. And it's something that Dan said, you know, I know he's commented on it. Like, I accept these things and for what I do, but his wife, his kids, they're not the ones that made that decision.
No. An investigation is underway after a person was hit by a car in West Bloomfield on Monday afternoon. So the crash occurred in the area of Square Lake and Middle Belt. The pedestrian was rushed to the hospital with severe life-threatening injuries, but is expected to survive. Middle Belt was shut down for quite a while. Officials did not say whether the driver remained at the scene following the crash. Yikes, for sure. Kmart just announced that its last full-size store in the U.S. is closing next month. It is almost completely gone. The location is in Bridgehampton, New York on Long Island. Will close its doors October 20th. Then the only last little remaining bit of Kmart is this mini Kmart in Miami. It's the only one that's going to be operating in the U.S. Yeah. Basically. There is some left, they say, in the U.S. Virgin Islands and Guam. But even this little teeny tiny mini Kmart is not really much of a Kmart. Sad to see. The first one opened in 1962, obviously here in Michigan in Garden City. By the early 90s, there was over 2,300 Kmarts across the country. They filed for bankruptcy in 2002. Then they merged with Sears and then filed for bankruptcy again in 2018.
I don't know if you guys remember this or, Jim, you might not
I remember Kmart.
Well, okay, but do you remember the Blue Light Special?
I know of it, sure.
Okay, yeah, they'd have the cart in a certain spot and then they'd have the blue light that would be going off.
Yep. I mean, the thing I remember most about Kmart, well, they still have it in other places, but they had the Kmart I used to shop at had a Little Caesars, and then they had the Slurpees were like a big...
Oh, yeah.
I know other places have Slurpees, but there was something about the Kmart Slurpees that were so good.
Oh, sure. It's like you know, Diet Coke at McDonald's. Like, there are certain places that just do it better.
Yes, and Kmart did their Slurpees good.
Heather with the news.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's the stuff you remember about it. It's important. All right. Coming up next, Greg Palm. We also have two Grand Slam, 1 hour away from your chance to win $2,000. It's 97.1. All right, people have asked, what's the deal with this Greg Palm business? It's based on Ken Palm, who does college hoop rankings.
Yes.
Ken's a smart guy. We got our own smart guy. It's Greg Hargrave.
Okay, so we've got a little bit of history with Greg Palm as we start with the bottom third of the rankings. We have our first team that is in the rankings with a blemish. And not only that, a team that was in Greg Palm at some point this season got knocked out, and now they're back in. It's number 12. Michigan.
Homer.
Ooh.
I wasn't itching to put Michigan in here. Was thinking about Clemson. It was going to be K-State before they got clocked in Provo. Even thought about OU, even though they lost at home to Tennessee. Iowa State is still undefeated in the Big 12. Look, we all see the wars with Michigan. 32 yards and no threat of a passing game. That's what it is about. They're not threatening in the passing game.
Oh, they tried to on second down and goal.
They're here because of their resume. They have a good loss against Texas, and they have a ranked win, which they just got against USC. Of note, and if there's one player that I'm putting in that's on Michigan, that's not on any other team, it is their defensive MVP, Josiah Stewart, who made life miserable for USC's offensive tackles in that game.
Oh, they even swapped out a tackle.
The left tackle, I noticed at halftime.
Yeah, they swapped out a tackle. Then they put a running back, they put a tight end, and it was to no avail.
And they did better for a quarter, but then Michigan came back and really pressured on that defensive line.
And I know you're being very dramatic by not calling Will Johnson the defensive MVP.
Hot take? It is what I believe.
I don't necessarily know that's a hot take, but yes, I agree.
Number 11, Missouri. Close win at home against Vandy. You know what? I'm not that alarmed by it. Vandy seems like this really pesky team, like they're not going to be this SEC pushover. They've got the home win against Virginia Tech. I think that game actually sends a lot more about Vandy than Mizzou. Mizzou is down a couple spots from last week, so this demotion really isn't about them. It's more about who's ahead of them. We'll go to number 10, Utah. Ranked W on the road
without their starting quarterback.
It's Isaac Wilson, by the way, Zach Wilson's little brother, who you could say is also Zach Wilson. Zach Wilson. Defense, 3 points allowed in the first three quarters. They allowed 42 yards to Ollie Gordon II, who has had his struggles in the run game throughout the season, but that is pronounced in a ranked matchup like that. 42 and a half minutes. Time of possession.
Oh,
dominating win. And it was a late comeback by Okie State that made it close.
Mm-hmm.
Number 9, Miami. Continue to put up huge point totals and convincing wins. I don't expect a lot of resistance from VT, who they're playing next. This is not the 90s and 2000s Frank Beamer teams of Virginia Tech. We might not have a really solid data point from Miami until they play at Louisville in October. That's October 19th, that game, and it is in Louisville. Just a note on them, keeping track of that Florida win, got a little bit better over the weekend with a win at Mississippi State for the Gators.
Yeah, I am curious about their schedule and how they'll be perceived at the end of the year. I think they pretty much run the table. They're at Cal, then a bye week before they make the trip to Louisville.
And as we sit today, Utah, Miami, would get byes in the first round of the college football playoff as the 3 and 4 seed conference champions.
All right. To the middle four. Number 8, the Penn State Nittany Lions. 56-0 over Kent State. Very similar to what Tennessee did. Maybe not as quite as drastic in the first half. This is where the rubber really meets the road for Penn State. The Big Ten schedule, remember, it looked a little soft for them preseason. It looks a little tougher now, specifically at USC and this weekend at home against Illinois. It's the Greg Pomm game of the week.
Ooh, you know what? NBC thought so as well, because they put this game in prime time on network television, and they pushed Ohio State and Michigan State to Peacock.
Wow. I am very curious about Illinois. Year two under Bielema, they started 7-1. Then the last third of that year and last year, through 23, they went 6-11. They've started 4-0 this year. Big win at a resurgent Nebraska team. Interested to see how Illinois on the road going to Penn State plays. Remember a couple years ago, that still feels like it was 6 months ago, was the 20-18 9 overtime game that Illinois won at Penn State.
Yep.
Number 7, Oregon. They are playing at UCLA. Now, this is interesting. Think about this. It's the Big Ten opener for Oregon. It's a true conference game, even from Oregon's perspective. Now, let's talk about, what does conference play really mean? It means program familiarity, the coaches, the styles, the venues, road trips, environment, traditions. All of that is a factor in conference play. So these conference newbies, like Oregon, like Texas, think of it. They're essentially playing like 9, 10 non-conference games this year. These things are new, but not for Oregon this week. This would be a conference game last year and over the last several decades, and it's a conference game now. So maybe a bit of a soft intro to Big Ten play. Number 6, they're up 4 spots from last week. Tennessee Volunteers, props for a ranked road win. Did it in a different way with their defense. Think about it this way. Mentioned the conference realignment. This was essentially an SEC team against a Big 12 team in a game that had a Big 10 feel. I got home. It was late third quarter, early fourth quarter. The score was 22-3, and it felt over. John, I'm sure you played in several games in the Big 10 where games were similar to that feel, and they felt over.
Done. Yeah. And I thought Tennessee did a great job of proving that they could go on the road with their quarterback and get a quality win.
So why not higher? Because I know the teams that are coming, why would they not be ahead of the other SEC non-Georgia teams, non-Texas teams?
That's a good question. Now, so let's get to one of those teams. Number 5 is Ole Miss. I still have them ahead of Tennessee because Ole Miss hasn't struggled in their early non-conference season. So
they haven't played anybody either.
They haven't played anybody, but they haven't struggled, right?
Neither has Tennessee.
Right. They don't have any demerits against them. So maybe this is a bit of preseason poll bias against Tennessee, but I'm not going to knock off Ole Miss because they just ran through their schedule. Yeah, it's a cardboard schedule. Going to get a little bit tougher now. SEC starts for them. Maybe a little bit of a soft ramp up for them. They're at home against Kentucky. But what we do get out of this is we get a comparison.
Yes.
Common opponent, Kentucky.
Georgia.
Played Georgia at home. Now 14, they're going 13. On the road playing Ole Miss. So it is a comparison point.
Sure.
All right. Top 4. Number 4, Alabama. Off week last week. They are hosting Georgia this week.
Mm.
The winner, in my mind, will be number 1 in the rankings. I don't know if that is en masse the thinking
of
poll voters, but to me, the winner is playing for number 1.
Surprised this isn't Greg Pomm game of the week. Explain why. Is it just conference bias?
No, it's because
the loser's also going to stay in too?
Yeah, the loser's really going to stay in the thick of the SEC race.
Yeah.
And one of the top 4 or 5 teams in the country. So what we look for in the Greg Pomm game of the week is kind of more of those bubble teams and those bubble games.
Okay.
That's really going to affect this team's going to get out with a loss, a team's going to get in with a win.
Yeah, those fringe teams.
Number 3, Ohio State. Cardboard's over. They are playing at Michigan State. It's their first Big Ten game.
Are you sure cardboard's over? Sorry.
We might find out. Blue Wall Radio host Jim Costa.
Right.
So what I'm interested about this game, we actually might find out a little bit more about MSU than we do about Ohio State. Number two, not changing, is Texas. This is their first SEC game, but it is at home. And what we mentioned about Oregon, kind of the same applies for Texas. Now, we'll get into this future down the road with Texas, but they are not going to many new places for them. They're at home against Mississippi State, opening SEC play. And number one, we've got Georgia. They're playing at Alabama. Winner plays for number one, like I mentioned, with the Crimson Tide. It's also why I didn't demerit Georgia for their close win at Kentucky, because it's basically the rankings are to come down to this game anyway.
Some notes. I would still have Texas ahead of Georgia, especially now that you've moved Michigan back inside the Greg Palm top 12.
And not Clemson.
And not Clemson. Well, I was going to ask.
But Texas did beat Michigan with their backup quarterback.
Oh, there it is. I gave you a hard time about Michigan. They are 12 in the AP, so it's not a homer play. And I get it. The USC win does deserve to vault them back up into the fringe, the back end of the Greg Palm playoff 12. Then obviously I have issues with Tennessee. I feel like they should be ahead of Ole Miss and Bama at this point, unless Bama gets a win this week. I think you could put Tennessee ahead of Ohio State as well. I think the Vols could be as high as number three based on resume so far this season. John, any notes from you?
I would put Texas at number one. I just think, especially with what they've done with their backup quarterback, showing that they've got as much depth as anybody at that position, the talent at receiver, and I would kind of knock Georgia for the Kentucky game. But it will be sorted out this week.
And while I made the trolley joke about MSU, their defense has played better than I thought they would so far this season, but Ohio State is going to be a completely different test.
Yes.
Aiden Childs cost them that game last week. And he's supposed to be the guy that steals a win or two for MSU.
But he's young.
I know.
He's going to try and make plays, and he's going to be a guy that will steal some wins but may cost you along the way until he is a little bit more football mature.
And that is Greg Palm. It's 97.1.
Hey, NFL Week 4, hey, we're here. And you can start with a chance for a big win on FanDuel. It's America's number one sportsbook. If you're new to FanDuel, you can get started with $200 in bonus bets guaranteed when you place your first $5 bet. And try a same-game parlay, because you can just put down a little and you can win a lot. Thursday night football game this week, Cowboys at the Giants, an NFC East division game. Everybody's going to love that one. CeeDee Lamb over receiving yards, Dak Prescott over passing yards, and take Devin Singletary over rushing yards. There's anything that you want. You can build your own, or you can pick from one of them that is pre-built for you in the app. Just visit FanDuel.com/Jansen to make every moment more this NFL season. FanDuel, an official sports book partner of the NFL. Must be 21 or over and present in Michigan. First online real money wager, only $5 purse deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. Restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
On a Tuesday morning where the two grand slam is about a half hour away, 7:25, your chance to win $2,000 with us this morning. Injuries piling up for the Lions, John. Yesterday, it was one thing after another. The latest being Frank Ragnow. Maybe people didn't see this at the end of the day. He's listed as week to week with an injury. We can go through some of these, but let's start with Frank because, hey, offensive line, tough. You've got a good read on Frank. How concerning is this?
I think he fights through it. He gets an extra day to get ready for Monday Night Football, and then there's a bye week. And so the argument is, well, do you give him the week off and allow him basically 3 weeks to recover?
That's my thought. If he's week to week, it's a torn pec, by the way.
Right. Or do you say, you know what, it's not going to get that much better. Let's just, being in that position, give me a shot. And let's get through this one. Then I can recover. I'll have 2 weeks.
Is there a risk of tearing it worse?
I'm not a doctor.
Right.
And I did not sleep in a really good hotel last night. Or marginally good, however you want to say it. But
well, did you have or do you have teammates that had something similar? I know there are.
Yeah. I mean, I had a torn calf. And there is always the risk that you can tear it more. You could completely tear it. Yes, that's always the case. But the thing about it is does it get worse, or how much worse? And how bad is it now? Is it a slight tear? Is it holding on by like one fiber? Like then you're sitting there going, well, I don't know. That's the information that we don't have.
Right. And we'll get maybe a little more clarity. We have Dan Campbell on today, 9:02, different time today on a Tuesday.
Oh, sure. I'm sure he'll be very,
very revealing. I'm sure he'll give us the whole medical diagnosis.
Yes.
But maybe a better idea as of how they're going to handle it, whether we should lean towards expecting him on Monday night or take the other route, which is, hey, it's a long season. You're chasing a Super Bowl. Maybe it'd be best to give the guy almost 3 weeks to try to get some level of healing.
Right.
This is not season ending. You don't want it to be season lingering more than it has to be.
Right. But I also, it's going to be season lingering no matter what.
You don't think there's a, well, yeah, I guess.
No, there's no path to completely healing between now and unless they say, hey, we're going to hold you out for 8 weeks.
Which they're not going to do.
Right.
I mean, and he doesn't want that.
No.
What was the story? Was it last year where he had like a procedure done midseason and he only missed, I think it was one game?
Sure.
Yeah, I mean, he's tough. He's as tough as they come. Some of the other injuries that are piling up following the Lions' win over the weekend. Marcus Davenport, his season is done.
Didn't see that coming, did you?
No. I think it was initially reported elbow, then torn tricep. So that same part of the body. Season ending, I think, is what Campbell confirmed yesterday at the podium.
Yeah.
Some other updates. Brian Branch, concussion. He's in the protocol.
Yep.
Aleem McNeil, shoulder. Was thought to be maybe longer term, is listed as day-to-day, according to Dan Campbell. Mm-hmm. Sam Laporta, day-to-day with a low ankle sprain. We saw him get hurt on the hook and ladder play, did kind of tough it out and get back in the football game.
Love the fact that it was a low ankle sprain versus the high ankle sprain.
Yes, good designation. And did I miss anybody else, John?
Derek Barnes.
Oh, Derek Barnes, which is a more long-term injury.
Yeah. You know, and this highlights the whole Marcus Davenport highlights the should have gone and gotten somebody else on the edge, because I mean, has there been a sighting of James Houston anywhere?
No.
Anywhere?
Scratch two of the three games.
Yeah, healthy scratch.
Yep.
And so, I mean, he's going to have to step up and play more. It's obviously going to be more on Josh Pascal, and this is going to be more on what we, it's one of the things that we heard from the offseason during training camp is the flexibility of some of these players to play multiple positions. Levi Onwuzurike maybe has to play a little bit out of position, but has been, you know, has lived up to the discussions that everybody has talked about. And so, yeah, you're going to start moving guys around, but you're not going to have a true edge guy setting the edge. Pascal, hey, this is your opportunity. Step up, you know, and captain in college, guy that, you know, drafted for a number of different reasons, has been banged up. Much like Levi Onwuzurike, you're going to have to step up and be counted.
So then, if it's not James Houston, I think that's kind of an indictment on why is he even on the roster, if I'm being honest.
I think we've all asked that question over the last 3 weeks.
And I respect however the coaching staff views him. If they don't view him as a guy who is a difference maker at the edge position, if they think he's a third down specialist only, maybe they didn't like that he couldn't pick up the Sam linebacker role, whatever. Yeah. He's clearly not one of their favorite players.
Mm-hmm.
If he is not feature's a strong word. If he's not a guy that picks up some slack here, cut him. Use the roster spot on somebody else. Is that fair?
Yes.
Okay.
I support that. And it's not. And it's also okay. Cut him. But then you've got to find somebody to fill the void left by Marcus Davenport. Left by James Houston, that's been a no-show. That guy may not be on the street, probably isn't on the street, but you're going to have to find a way to trade for someone.
I'm going to give you a name, and you're probably not going to like it, but I know it's going to get brought up at some point later today on the station.
Is he a Jet?
Yeah, John, he's a Jet.
Don't like it.
Okay. Is it at least worth... Like me, okay, you saying his name and just at least asking that question. Because I know you don't want malcontents. You don't want bad locker room guys, people who are holding out, whatever.
That are going to walk around in their samurai outfit.
What's wrong with the samurai outfit, John? You keep bringing that up.
It's a samurai outfit when you have mini camp and you're posting this. You are, you know, wagging your tail in the face of your team.
So I thought about this yesterday, and then a ticket texter this morning threw something out there. because of the 0-3 Bengals, a situation to watch. Trey Hendrickson.
Yeah. There was discussion in the offseason.
He has he's through next year's contract.
So short term, already signed.
Yeah. I think they've really got to go in the toilet to do it.
Oh, I'd much prefer man. That.
And Taylor Decker, Craig said it to the Bengals.
Right. Yes. Everybody's favorite trade option.
Something to watch. Everybody always throws Max Crosby out there, and I get it. I mean,
okay,
but
sure,
this
yeah.
could be a little more viable and financially responsible move because he signed through just next year, and then those other contracts will start hitting down the road.
Yeah, again, Hassan Reddick, I don't think they want to give him an extension, which is why he's not playing in New York, and I don't know that the Lions would be dying to give him an extension either. His name is going to come up today because he has had double-digit sacks each of the last four seasons, including 16 sacks for the Eagles 2 seasons ago when they went to the Super Bowl.
Right.
For the reasons we've discussed, I don't think this is going to happen.
And everybody's going to also bring up missed opportunities. And I think Matthew Judon is probably the top one where, what was it, a third-round pick that got him away from New England? It is now in Atlanta. Like that one, you're like, oh, maybe we should have gone down that road earlier, knowing the injury history of Marcus Davenport.
248-539-9797. Taking some inventory, looking at that injury list piling up. Take some of your thoughts on that. The pass rushing spot. Are you more or less confident in this football team after last week's win? It's 97-1.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Horse rat pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Noor Sides and Bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Noor Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Noor.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
All right, parents, it's back to school time, and I've got a secret for you. There's a drama-free way to make vitamins part of your kids' morning routine. Lil Critters Gummy Vitamins. You see, my kids think they're just eating fun, delicious gummy bears, but little do they know, they're getting essential nutrients for their health and development.
Mom, we know they're vitamins.
As I was saying, kids absolutely love, and apparently know, these are vitamins. Lil Critters is the pediatrician-recommended kids' multivitamin gummy brand, and the yummy way to start the school year.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.
Oh, oh, oh. O'Reilly!
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly! Auto Parts.